A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that, as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat.
Verbum Domini.
First reading from the Book of Wisdom today states very clearly that God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. Death is a consequence of sin. Our reading tells us further that God fashioned all things that they might have being, that they might have existence. The creatures of God that God created are wholesome. He created man to be imperishable, to live forever. But we're also told that it was by the envy of the devil that death entered into the world. It's through the envy of the devil that he tempted our first parents to commit sin and to disobey God. The devil ultimately wanted Adam and Eve and still wants each of us to be separated from God, who is the source of all life and love. And so through the fall of our first parents giving in to that temptation, death entered into the world. A spiritual death and physical death. And as a result of that, we needed a Savior to rescue us from the power of death and the destructive effects of sin. And God provided quite generously by sending his Son to rescue us, to redeem, and to reconcile us with God. In our responsorial psalm, which was from Psalm 30, we chanted and expresses this need for a Savior, that we need a Savior, we need to be rescued. The response that we chanted was, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. And it's this desire to be rescued from the effects of sin, from death, which we have no power over ourselves. We need God. We need a Savior. And in our gospel today, we encounter that Savior who is God and clearly has the power over illness and death. And it's the account that we heard of the healing of the woman with the flow of blood and the raising of the daughter of Jairus. We're told that as the Lord went through this pressing crowd, he turned and said, who has touched my clothes? Now we know many people probably bumped into the Lord as he was passing through, because St. Mark says there's a huge crowd pressing in on him. So even though the disciples said to him, you see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, who touched me? The Lord knew quite well who touched him. And although, again, many probably touched him, what was different with this woman was that she approached and touched the hem of his garment with great trust and faith, an unshaken trust. And when we receive Holy Communion, we do much more than touch the hem of the Lord's garment. So it's a way to ask ourselves, what is our interior disposition as we come up to receive the Lord in Holy Communion at each Mass? It's the same Lord who healed this woman. It's the same Lord who raised the daughter of Jairus. And he still heals. He still gives healing and power and strength. Receive the same body and blood of the risen Lord. And so this encounter we have with him in the Holy Eucharist can change our lives, but that does depend on the degree of the receptiveness of our hearts, the degree of our faith and our trust, as it did for this woman in the gospel. So one more comment with regard to this question that the Lord asked, who touched my clothes, as it leads to the next miracle. So when the Lord asked this, as I mentioned before, he was very well aware who touched his garments. Just like we had, it's probably in the last couple of weeks, or maybe this past month, we heard from, I think it was a Sunday Mass, we had the account from Genesis. When God asked Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where Adam was, but he was stirring him, inviting him to confess his own sin, his fault. Right here, the Lord's not inviting her to confess her fault. He's inviting her to proclaim to all those people present what just happened. Right? It's giving God glory, and it's increasing their faith. And particularly, it's increasing the faith of Jairus, because he had already, remember, this miracle of this woman with the flow of blood, it's sandwiched in between Jairus first comes to the Lord, and on his way to Jairus' house, then this happens with this woman. So Jairus just witnessed, as the Lord is coming through, this woman get healed. That probably strengthened his faith, his confidence that, yes, the Lord can heal my daughter as well. But perhaps very humanly speaking, too, we're not told, but to think maybe there was also a little bit of impatience with Jairus, because there is an urgency. My daughter is dying. Please come. And all of a sudden, the Lord stops, and it seems like he's having this encounter or conversation with someone else, or asking, who touched my clothes? But we see ultimately, certainly Jairus seems very reasonable that he would have been strengthened in his faith as he saw this miracle of the woman being healed on the way to the Lord going to his home. But then we're told that there's a severe test or trial, right? Because Jairus is told, don't bother, your daughter has just died. And so Jairus, certainly, he could have just said, okay, I just need to go and grieve with my family. But the Lord told him right away, do not be afraid, just have faith. Again, he could have told the Lord, I need time to grieve with my family, no need to bother, don't come. But the Lord was inviting him, just have faith, trust. And he did. He did not dismiss the Lord. He followed the Lord's prompting to trust in him. And as we heard in the gospel, the Lord took the young girl by the hand and told her to arise, and she did immediately. So in the readings today, we're offered an invitation to greater faith and trust in Almighty God. We're also reminded of the reality of the future resurrection. For our Lord referred to the little girl as being asleep when she has died, before he had commanded her to arise. So we learn from the New Testament that in the culture at that time, death was referred to as falling asleep. St. Paul would say in his first letter to the Thessalonians, "We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And at the Roman Canon, which we pray at Mass, we pray for those who have gone before us in rest and the sleep of peace. So this miracle in the gospel today is not only about the raising of this little girl from the dead, but it also points to our future resurrection at the second coming. Right? Our bodies will rise from the grave. And we, like Jairus' daughter, again, will rise again after death. We want to have that same humility and faith as the woman who was healed, as well as the faith and humility of Jairus. They both came humbly before the Lord. Right? The woman humbly fell before the Lord and told him all that had happened to her when he prompted her by saying, "Who touched my clothes?" Jairus, likewise, this distinguished ruler of a synagogue, fell at the Lord's feet, and he humbly asked him to heal his daughter. Reminded also of what St. James said in his letter, that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? To always humbly go before the Lord. We also, again, want to have the faith of these two individuals set before us today as models of faith. Remember, our Lord told the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." And what did he tell Jairus? Just have faith. So like these two individuals, may we not hesitate to approach the Lord with faith and trust and humility and have that contact with him in the healing and grace-filled power of the sacraments, especially in the Holy Eucharist, as we know the Lord will never abandon us.